task this day on the second Sunday of Advent. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship the Christ child this morning.
Turnout online for that study, and I want to encourage you to join us. If you missed the first week, that's okay. Join us this Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live as we look at Adam Hamilton's book, Incarnation. This week we'll be looking at chapter 2 in his book. So I encourage you to do it. It's a chance to look at the names that Jesus was given at the time of his birth and how they still play an impact in our lives today. This Friday night, I also want to remind you that we have our drive-in movie. Yes, we're going back to the olden days where we had a chance to pull in and listen to and watch the movies from our car. This Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. in the upstairs parking lot, upper parking lot, we will be watching the movie The Star. This is it's a family-friendly movie. It's a movie worth watching with all ages. And we want to encourage you to come Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. We will have popcorn and hot chocolate and snacks provided as a part of that. But it's open for anybody. We really want to encourage you to come. This is, of course, weather permitting. If it's cold, we're still going to do it. As long as it doesn't rain on Friday, our plan is to still hold it. So dress warm, dress appropriate. You have a chance to sit outside your car, sit in your car, listen to the radio. As we show it, the screen will be on the stage upstairs. So it's a wonderful time of gathering this Friday. Invite your friends and family. Tell them about that as well. This I also want to remind you, in a couple of weeks, we will have our Christmas Eve worship service. This is a service that our church family looks forward to every single Christmas Eve. And this year, we're going to have two Christmas Eve services to control the numbers for each service. The 4 o'clock worship service is going to be outside. It's going to be a drive-in worship service. Provide that opportunity, assuming the weather is permitting, as long as it doesn't rain, we will have that service at 4 o'clock. Or you can come to the 6 p.m. inside the sanctuary worship service. This will be a communion service. Both services will be candlelight for both services as well. So I encourage you to come, but what we need you to do is we need you to contact the church office to let the service you're coming to. If you're coming to the 4 o'clock, call and let us know. I'm coming to the 4 o'clock service. Come to the 6 o'clock service, call and let us know so we can be prepared for the numbers that we're expecting this year. So call and let us know as soon as possible about those services. We've already had many that have contacted us already to let us know which service we're coming to. Many other things going on in the life of our church during this Advent season. It is a season to prepare ourselves, to anticipate the celebration of the birth of the Christ child. Let us prepare our hearts this day to worship.
Christmas is the most favorite time of year. My most favorite time of year. And one of my most favorite hymns we're going to sing this morning, called That Long Expected Jesus. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Thank you. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod.
Magi from the east came.
Oh,
message and music this morning. As we prepare for the time of scripture reading and the time of our sermon this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer in a few moments of silence and confession this day. Let us pray. Give thanks this day, O God, that you are unchanging, that your concern for justice and righteousness was so strong that you came in human form to share that concern with us in person. We confess that all too often we hesitate to speak or to act when we see people being treated unjustly. Forgive us, O God, for the times when we have been happy to hear the gospel without truly living it in our lives. Forgive us this day for uncaring attitudes when we base our opinion of others' worth on what they own or how they look, on what they say or how they live, rather than accepting them for who they are, people made in your image. Forgive us when our desires for pursuing profits before seeking you and seeking your will. Forgive us for placing our hope in others than the Christ child born in a poor stable many years ago. Our hope today lies in the promise of your mercy. O God, extend to those who fear you from generation to generation your love. Heal, restore, and bless us this day for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Again, I want to worship this morning on the second Sunday of Advent as we prepare in anticipation of the celebration of the birth of the Christ child. Last week, I began an Advent series titled In the Small Details, realizing that probably this Christmas, similar to Thanksgiving just a few weeks ago, may be a little bit different, may be a little bit smaller than what we had in the past. That's something that we can't control. It is in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. And I thought it would be insightful for us to see how the gifts of hope that Christ provides for us and that we're called to remember during this season of Advent doesn't have to be found in the large and the huge and the grand. It can be found in the small details. Last week we looked at the story of Zechariah from Luke chapter 1. And we looked at how when the angel Gabriel came to him, he had a little bit of doubt. He was sprinkled with a little bit of doubt. And that's okay. Because we realize even in the midst of that doubt, his faithful promise and testimony, not only to God, to that court, but also to others, would serve as a testimony for generations to come. This morning, we're going to continue our journey through the Gospel of Luke, looking at chapter 1, verses 26 through 45. And we're going to read the revelation to Mary about the birth of her son, Jesus the Messiah, from that same angel Gabriel. Now, before we turn our focus to this passage, I thought I would share just a personal story from my life that I think many of you may be able to relate to. One of the stories I was sharing with my oldest son this week, Samuel, was his birth and when we brought him home for the very first time from the hospital. Now, Jennifer and I had been praying for a child for months, even years. And we were finally got the word that she was pregnant. We were overjoyed. And 9 months later, we welcomed our oldest son now, who's 15, Samuel, into the world. And we could see from the very beginning the blessing that he was going to be to our lives. After spending a few extra days in the hospital with him, we finally got the word from the doctors that we were going to get to bring him home. Finally get to bring him home to our house in Burlington. As we drove to our house that day that we brought him home, Jennifer was overjoyed, but we were both exhausted. And so as we unloaded the car, we walked Samuel into the door, we closed the door behind us. I clearly remember Jennifer and I looking at each other and saying these words, "Can you believe they let us bring him home?" That was followed by, "What are we doing now?" We were young,
by room, saying, this is the kitchen, this is the dining room, this is the mommy and daddy's room, this is going to be your room eventually, this is the bathroom, this is the other bathroom. Now, I'm holding this newborn baby, and he didn't care one little bit. I didn't know what to do. We were overwhelmed. We were overjoyed, and probably some of you have been where I was that day. But in this life-changing moment that we were experiencing, we didn't know the future that lies ahead for our 15-year-old son. And we still don't know all the details of it. But as we walked into the unknown, we realized that God was walking with us. This morning, we're going to read the story of the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary and telling her, revealing to her that she was going to give birth to a son that was going to change the world. Now, Mary didn't know all the details. Mary didn't know everything that was going to lay out in front of her. She didn't know everything. But what she did know is that God was with her. Even when she went to visit her relative Elizabeth, she knew that God was with her. While God had the future planned out in every specific detail, knowing everything that was going to happen, both Mary and Elizabeth didn't. But they took baby steps into this unknown future. Maybe we're called to do the same today, into this unknown future in which we're walking into. Maybe it just involves taking baby steps of faith with God. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we'll be reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 45. We read the words of Mary's account in this passage and then her visit to her relative Elizabeth. This comes on the very tail end of our story last week with Zechariah, when Zechariah had the appearance of Gabriel to him. So reading this morning, if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 45. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "Servant," Mary answered, "may it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." As we think about this passage, as we think about the encounter with Gabriel and Mary, I think there are two things that we can learn this morning. Now, while we head into an unknown future, each one of us needs to put our trust and belief in the one who has the ultimate plan. Last week, we read about Zechariah's doubt when he was met by the angel Gabriel in the temple. and his promise of a son to the barren couple. Mary's encounter with Gabriel was the exact opposite. Mary, a young, poor, engaged woman living in the outskirt town of Nazareth, would be the last person anyone would ever expect to be the one to birth the long-awaited Messiah. You see, Nazareth was a long way from Jerusalem, the center of Jewish life and worship, centered in Jerusalem, and Nazareth was a good long bit away. A town with a population of about 2,000, if you want to get some local understanding, that's about the size of Yanceyville, North Carolina. 2,000 residents. That's what Nazareth was. Nazareth was anything but special. Mary, from the outside eye, if anybody would look, was saying the same thing. She was anything but special. But she was betrothed to Joseph, a descendant of David, but also a man of humble means. Yet, this common woman was chosen to be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah, the one who would change the world. Now, one would not blame Mary at all that she would come with some doubt when Gabriel appeared to her. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Now, these words of greeting echo the distant words from the past spoken to Hannah, the mother of Samuel. The Lord is with you echoes what we say when we say this time of year, Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. God is with us. That is the greeting that Gabriel gave this young woman. Yet Mary, this simple Jewish woman from the town of Nazareth, was the chosen one. The angel Gabriel informs Mary that she will miraculously become the mother of the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, the descendant of David, the one that the Jewish people had been waiting for centuries. It was finally going to come true. Though the miracle of the Holy Spirit, through the miracle of the Holy Spirit, you will give birth to a son who will be named Jesus, which literally means salvation. Faced with an amazing and somewhat uncertain future, one would not blame Mary in responding with doubt and disbelief, just like Zechariah from last week. However, Mary knew that God had a plan. Mary knew that while she only could see the big picture, which is what Gabriel shared with him, her, that God knew the small picture. God knew the details. Now, one can imagine some of the questions that raced through Mary's mind as she was in the presence of Gabriel that day, shortly after, and for the days and weeks to come. How would Joseph respond to the fact that I'm a virgin and I'm going to be pregnant? Would Jesus be raised just like any other son in Jewish culture that day? Would he follow the line of Joseph, his earthly father? How would the world accept my son as this long-awaited Messiah? Those are just a few questions that sure ran through Mary's mind that day and the coming days. However, unlike Zechariah, who had a little bit of doubt last week, Mary responds as a faithful servant of God. truly Gabriel's words can come true in our hearts and our minds. For nothing will be impossible with God. The second lesson I think that we can learn this day is that while we head into an unknown future, each one of us needs to show a spirit of understanding, not just to God, but to the others that are around us. Hearing of a relative Elizabeth's pregnancy and the pronouncement of Gabriel, Mary chooses to travel to visit Elizabeth in the hill country of Judah to celebrate together. Mary was not told to go visit Elizabeth. You'll never find that in Scripture. Mary was not told to go visit Elizabeth. She did it on her own. This was a step that she was taking, understanding of Gabriel's announcement and what God's plan was for her. While Mary did not fully understand what the future held, and while she didn't understand what the future held for Elizabeth, she did take baby steps in her understanding by visiting the other woman mentioned in this divine encounter. Now, Mary probably went to share the good news of her pregnancy with Elizabeth. She realized that when she walked into that home, she would get confirmation, not from Elizabeth, from the Holy Spirit and God Himself about the future. As soon as Mary enters the home of Elizabeth and Zechariah, Scripture tells us the baby in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, leapt for joy that Elizabeth and that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. What a powerful confirmation for Mary about God's plan. What a powerful confirmation for Elizabeth about her child's role in God bringing salvation to this world. Sometimes we need confirmation, right? When the future is not so clear. Nowhere was Elizabeth told who Mary's child was. You won't find that in Scripture. You don't see that in Scripture. Yet God's revelation to her through the role of the Holy Spirit that Mary was carrying her Lord, the Messiah, the long-awaited one, brought not only comfort to Mary, but it brought it to Elizabeth, and I can imagine to Zechariah as well. This understanding is shown in her response to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Not only was Elizabeth sharing that she was starting to understand God's divine plan, but the testimony of her words served as confirmation and support to Mary, who was blessed with this divine task. Now, one would imagine that Mary may have been overwhelmed with questions still, especially as she journeyed to Elizabeth's home. The estimated time travel to where Mary lived and to where Elizabeth lived was about 4 days' travel. 4 days. Imagine how many questions were running through her mind for 4 days. But then she stepped foot in Elizabeth's home. And all of a sudden, it was a lot clearer. Those questions probably increased for the days and weeks and each step she took. But the Holy Spirit used Elizabeth as a witness to His divine plan. When we are going through times of question, isn't it comforting when we find fellowship with someone whom we value and share similar experiences with? That's what Elizabeth was to Mary. When we're having those questions in our lives, that's who we have to find. We have to find those individuals walking the same journey, not the same path, but the same journey into the unknown future, and rely on them as our confirmation of God's plan in our life. How often can we serve as that confirmation for somebody else? Not just receiving confirmation, but giving confirmation. That's what Elizabeth was doing. She was receiving confirmation from Mary, but giving it back to Mary. And Mary was receiving confirmation from Elizabeth, but giving it back to Elizabeth. It's a give and take, and future. Isn't that reassuring? Isn't that reassuring that God still cares and that God makes a difference in our lives and God has a plan for each and every one of us and he's going to put people in our path that are going to confirm it for us? It would have been a long 9 months for Mary if she didn't have Elizabeth walking that journey with her. Neither knew all the details, but both were willing to follow the one who laid the plan in motion from the beginning. Their understanding was revealed by the baby steps of faith that they took. I came across a survey. A 2010 survey was given to random residents in the United States. One question that was asked in that survey was this: if you could, would you want to know what the future holds for you in the next 5 years? I've already seen some heads shaking. No, maybe yes, I don't know. An overwhelming majority of adults, 78% of adults said yes, we would like to know what the future holds. I can imagine there are times in our lives when we wish we could know what the future holds. I can imagine that even Mary and Elizabeth in this time wish they could know all the details of what the future held. However, how comforting is it knowing that our Lord, our God, knows the future and is preparing us every day for the unknown. Even though we don't know what the unknown brings, God is working in our lives right now, preparing us for it. I can imagine that Mary and Elizabeth, knowing that, and they did not question. They did not doubt. They just followed God's plan, knowing he was preparing them for what the future held. The baby steps of Mary and Elizabeth serve as models for us as we move into an unknown future. We have to take those same baby steps, not on the same path of each other, but those baby steps of faith, holding God's hand, knowing he is there. The question we have to ask ourselves this morning is this: are you willing? Are you willing to take those same baby steps into the future, putting our trust in the one who knows? As words of encouragement this morning, as you ponder that question, as you go home, or as you reflect on God's presence this day, I want to encourage you, give you a little homework assignment, to read the follow-up, what Mary's response was to Elizabeth when she visited her. It's known as the Magnificat. This is Luke chapter 1, verses 46. And when we need reassurance of God's presence, know that Mary's response is right there and can serve as a model for us. We do not walk into the unknown future alone. We are not alone. We walk with each other, but we walk with the one's hand who has guided us every step, every baby step of the way. Let us pray. Father, we are amazed at the testimony of the lives of Mary and Elizabeth. The task that you chose them to do was world-changing, life-transforming for everyone. May we recognize that you are calling us in similar ways to make a difference in this world. We don't need to know all the details, Father. This story reveals to us that it's okay to not know, and it's okay to have those questions, but our faith needs to follow through as we take baby steps with you. Father, as we come to you this day, on this second Sunday of Advent, we recognize that we do not know, but you do. And we place our hands in yours, and we walk along, step by step, every day, on the path and journey you have before us. And we we give you thanks for that journey. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we turn our time to the closing and singing our invitation hymn, maybe today, for the very first time, you realize, you know what? I don't have to have all the answers. That God has all the answers. Whether you're here in person or whether you're watching online this morning, if today's the very first time that you realize that the Savior, the Christ child, is calling you to come to Him to start with, come down front this morning during our closing time. Contact me via Facebook, by email, by phone this week. I will talk with you. Don't put it off. Don't put it off because God has a long journey in store for you. Maybe today you recognize that this body, this church body, can be that place, that location where you can follow with baby steps of time with God. If that's the case, come down front and we'll embrace you and welcome you into our church body. Or maybe just today you have some questions. Maybe there's questions like Mary, questions like Elizabeth, questions like Zechariah from last week. And you just need to give them to God. The altar is always open. I'll leave it there. If it's God's altar, you can come lay it before Him. I'll pray with you if you want me to. Whatever God may be stirring in your heart today, let us not put it off. Let us turn to Him this day and follow Him every step of the way. Let us stand and sing. Go in peace.